Florida State has been on fire in the portal, Michael. They added three new commitments this past weekend that has pushed them towards a top five class. And we're going to break it down for you guys and talk about all these new commitments coming up in this episode. So thank you for joining us, Noel Nation. We are Plant the Spirit. I'm Jesse. That's Michael. And man, I'm excited to get – it's almost Lion season, Michael. Yep. It is almost there. Now, we're going to pump the brakes on that, but I'm telling you, I'm getting excited for 2025 because I really like a lot of the pieces that they have acquired so far this offseason in the transfer portal. So we're going to break all those down for you guys today. But before we jump into that, Michael, how are you, my friend?
Oh, Jesse, I'm good. Glad to be here. And you're right. I've been saying all along that I'm not going to make predictions or prognostications until I see it on the field against Alabama. But your boy is tempted to start lying a little bit about what's going to happen next year. I mean, some of these additions have been like, oh, we acting like this now, Mike. Okay. So yeah, ready to get into it and excited to see what it turns out to be.
Yeah, and I got to say, man, I'm really happy with what the staff has been able to do so far in a short amount of time. And so It really does kind of get you excited for the future. You know, we were talking about this before the show that, I mean, I'm still going to be always cautiously optimistic going into 2025 because of 2024. Yeah. We will never be able to, like, shake that from our memory. But so far, man, I think they've done a really great job, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that later. So, yeah, I mean, I think I'm definitely – obviously, you know, with the addition of some good players, but I'm feel a lot better going into 2025, seeing this portal class so far, especially with some of the guys that we're going to talk about today. Now, before we jump into these commits, let me bring you a quick word from today's sponsor, and that is Alumni Hall FSU. Look, you know I've been saying it, Michael, new year, new gear. Make sure you check out Alumni Hall. These guys got elite FSU gear across all sports, basketball, baseball, football. They got something for everybody. And you can check them out in Tallahassee at 1415 Timberlane Road or online at alumnihall.com. Navigate over to the FSU page and make sure you save 10% by using code SPEAR. If you're going to buy it anyway, why not save a little bit of cash?
That's right.
So check those guys out. We appreciate them supporting us, and we appreciate you guys supporting those who support us. So, Michael, let's talk about the first one here. And this is one of the ones that I'm probably most excited about in this class. And I will say, one of the reasons I'm the most excited about this is because how much trash their fans have talked about him since he left. And you already know, the more trash they talk, the more they say, you know, love them while you got them, hate them when they leave. The more that happens, the better I feel about it. And that is Tennessee wide receiver transfer Squirrel White, committed to Florida State this past weekend. And I think this is a guy that can be a dynamic playmaker for FSU in that slot wide receiver position. 5'10", 160, not the biggest guy, but man, speed is what comes to mind when you talk about Squirrel White. 25 starts, over 1,350 snaps of experience. So not only are you getting a guy that has proven production, he's got a lot of experience too, obviously playing in the SEC at the highest level there at Tennessee. And the production, man, 130 receptions throughout his three-year career there, 1,659 yards, 6 touchdowns over the last 3 seasons. He was Tennessee's leading receiver in 2023 with over 800 yards, and he was their number 3 in 2024, even though he was battling injury. And, you know, that's the funny part. When I joke about the Tennessee fans, they're like, well, you know, these guys coming out of Tennessee, they weren't any good. I'm like, if he wasn't any good, then how was he leading receiver last year and top 3 this year? So that must mean the rest of your team is pretty awful. And we also heard that, and of course there are injury concerns. Now we will address that as well. But, you know, Tennessee fans are like, well, you know, congratulations, but you're never going to see him play. That's also kind of a lie, because I went back and looked it up. And I'm not a Tennessee fan. I don't watch their games. But he played the third most snaps of any receiver on Tennessee's team last year and the second most the year before that. So if he is that banged up, that tells me that he's at least trying to play through injury. And I do like. So, man, going back and looking at some of his history throughout his career, man, 5 100-yard games. And this is what starts to get me excited. When you look at the schedule next year, you got Bama and Clemson, teams like that on there. Well, his best career game was a 10-catch, 111-yard performance with a touchdown against Bama in 2023. He also put up 108 yards and a touchdown on 9 catches versus Clemson in the Orange Bowl as a freshman.
Wow.
So, I mean, again, you're talking about 2 100-yard games against teams that are on your schedule next year. How many of our receivers last year were putting up 100 yards maybe in a season, let alone a game. So I think this guy is going to be a game changer for FSU. Yeah. Now, obviously, it's not guaranteed, but I think the potential is there. Does have a solid career reception percentage of 68.4. And again, like I mentioned, this was probably one of Tennessee's fastest players. So yeah. You are getting speed in the slot, which I love. Now, for my concerns, I would say that obviously the injury risk is going to be there for him. I don't doubt that he did miss some time with injury, so you're hoping that he can stay healthy. I know you were going to elaborate on something that you noticed while he was on campus there.
Yeah.
And he's a little bit undersized, which obviously makes him injury prone, but hopefully he's healthy before the season. The only other concern that I really have there is he did have 7 drops in 2023. And Tennessee fans did say drops were a problem there, but he only had 2 in 2024 per PFF. So that's pretty good. But man, those 7 drops in 2023, that was on 96 targets. So that's really, really terribly bad. Speedy, proven receiver in the slot for 2025. Well, only 1 year left, but man, I mean, I think this is a guy that can really raise the floor of that receiver room.
Yeah, I mean, and even those 7 drops and those 96 targets, that's only a 7% drop rate. That's pretty good when you're being targeted that much.
Right.
Now, hopefully what you don't want is that those drops are coming in key moments, key situation, key games. But for the type of player he is, the type of player he has shown up to be, he shows up. Obviously, you talked about the stats in the Tennessee, in the Clemson game. He shows up in those big games. I mean, that's what you need. You need somebody who can come in and be an effective wide receiver that you can depend on in those big games or in everyday games as well too. My only concern is the height and the shorter. He's a little bit shorter, so when he's going up against those bigger DBs, you do have a tendency to see him in some ways kind of disappear when they do that. But what I love about it, though, is he's not afraid to attack those big DBs. There's a couple instances, if you go back and watch the film, where he takes these little like what they call like bubble fake wheel routes, where he's kind of faking as the, like he's going to be a bubble screen and he goes up and he's going deep. There's one play, I think it was against Alabama. He catches a ball so beautiful and he's just streaking down, and that defender is a big defender. And so you've seen where he's willing to attack those big defenders, but you also worry about that a little bit. Having him in the slot to go to compare him or partner him with Jalen Lucas, I think, is a really good thing, especially when you got those big receivers out wide. You imagine that you're going to have a lot of underneath stuff open up for him, and then inverting the offense, having those big receivers inside and having him go outside. Man, that could be a dangerous combo if Gus Malzahn can draw it up.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think it gives you just a different range of skill sets. Like you said, it also gives you a nice 1-2 punch with Jalen Lucas there in the slot. And yeah, I mean, when I went back and watched this film, it's he makes some contested catches. He gets, open underneath. And then if he gets in space, good luck. It's off to the races. You are not going to catch him. And, another team that's on your schedule, I just looked up, he had 71 yards against Florida last year.
Come on.
Michael, we had 140 yards passing as a team against Florida this year. So I will take all of that. And, it is funny. I will say this other thing about him as well. I saw somebody when this commitment dropped that people were kind of joking about how, one of the reasons he said he wanted to leave Tennessee was he wanted more touches.
Right.
And someone was saying, going to a Gus Malzahn offense, you're not really going to get a whole lot of touches. And I said, oh, contraire, let's pull up the tape here.
Right.
And I went back and looked it up. And this is a couple of little interesting numbers here. Because, we talk about it's a run-first offense and you might struggle with receivers and quarterback recruiting. But when you look at Gus's top 3 wide receivers at UCF over the past 2 years since they've been playing in the Power 4, and then when you go back and you look at Tennessee's top 3 wide receivers over the last 2 years, in 2024, UCF, their top 3 combined for 101 receptions, 1,513 yards, and 8 touchdowns. And remember, they had terrible quarterback play last year. Tennessee, a playoff team this year, had 99 receptions, 1,514 yards, and 10 touchdowns.
Wow.
Then you look back to 2023, Gus's team had 129 receptions, 2,364 yards, and 18 touchdowns through the air. Tennessee had 124 receptions for 1,728 yards and only 13 touchdowns. So surprisingly, Gus's offense actually has been better at throwing the ball, and they don't have the quarterback play that Tennessee has necessarily had. than Tennessee has. So, man, I think he's going to be a productive member of this offense. Like you said, when you combine him with Deuce Robinson and a lot of these other big receivers, Hakeem Williams and these guys, man, I think you're going to have a great variety of skill sets out there. And, I mean, again, he's a burner, man. 800 yards reception or 800 yards receiving in 2023. If you can get that out of him again, if he can stay healthy, man, that's going to be huge for this offense. Now, keeping it in the Tennessee vibe here, talking about the next transfer is Tennessee defensive line transfer Jason Jenkins. Now, this one is a little interesting for me because I think this is one of the guys where we've talked a lot about Florida State bringing in proven, experienced guys. This is probably one of the least experienced, proven guys that they've brought in. But at the same time, I also think this is one of the higher upside guys that you also brought in at the same time. 6'6", 281, really got a big, massive, bulky frame. He did appear in all 13 games last season for Tennessee as a rotational player, 214 snaps. The thing you do have to keep in mind here is Tennessee had a deep defensive line. There is a lot of talent on that defensive line. His playing time did increase towards the end of 2024. You saw snap count steadily rise, which I think is a good thing because that shows you that he was earning more playing time on the field. And so he probably just wanted more playing time. And so he winds up in Tallahassee, played in six games in 2023, redshirted in 2022. You know, and his production doesn't pop off the stat sheet, but you also have to keep in mind only 214 snaps. So 9 tackles, 3.5 tackles for loss, 2 sacks, 1 forced fumble, 7 stops with a solid 75.5 PFF grade. Now, when we talk about the production, here's why I'm excited about this guy. So when you look at that size, this to me sounds like probably a good replacement for Marvin Jones Jr. Mm. So if we kind of look at, you know, just from a body type, that bigger, maybe run stopper type of defensive end there. So when you look at some numbers here, solo tackles. So Jason Jenkins last year had 6 solo tackles. MJJ had 10. Tackles for loss, he had 3.5. MJJ had 6. Sacks, he had 2. MJJ had 4. And stops, he had 7. MJJ had 17. But he only played 214 snaps. Marvin Jones Jr. played 387, so 173, almost double the snaps. So the production compared to the body of work that you get, I think it is great. And so, you know, my overall thoughts, big frame, good motor. He's very athletic for his size, which provides a lot of upside. He's still a little raw. He's going to need some polishing to get where you want him to be. But I love this take. He has experience in 3- and 4-man fronts. He can play inside, but will most likely be an edge setter for FSU. Again, probably one of their more unproven transfers, just from an experience standpoint, but he's got 3 years of college development, and I think he's got a really high upside.
Yeah. Yeah. I like this pickup, not necessarily for the fact that he's going to be, you know, he's brought in because he's got a high production, but more so in the fact that he's played high level competition and he has stats and some production in that. So you're not bringing in, you know, he's not necessarily your G5 guy that's not played as much and is getting an opportunity at the Power 5 level. No, he's played at the Power 4 level, 214 snaps, you said. He's played 214 snaps against SEC level like defense. He's got production, and now he's going to get the opportunity to come in and compete for a starting opportunity at the edge in this new, you know, potential 3-3-5 stack or the 4-3, depending on 4-2, however Tony White wants to run that. But you're also bringing in production that's played at the high level. I think that's what I like most about this. It's not just, you know, Georgia or Tennessee or Alabama's backup that has no stats whatsoever, but somebody who's actually played significant amount of snaps and gotten some production level and now is looking for the chance to start more. A la a Jermaine Johnson from Georgia, who comes to Florida State, had very little stats at Georgia, but had some production, comes to Florida State, becomes a dominant DN for us, gets drafted in the first round of the NFL. I think that's what you get with Jenkins here.
Man, I love that comparison because it's really a perfect example. And when you look at Tennessee's, I think I counted, and they played something like 20 or 21 defensive linemen this year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they have an absolutely deep, a line there. So it's just kind of hard to get on the field. But I will say one thing, outside of the fans who were just salty, especially about Squirrel White leaving, I will say a lot of Tennessee fans were like, look, I know he didn't play a lot because of the depth that we have at defensive line, and there's some NFL guys ahead of him. But a lot of people thought this guy was, they didn't want to see him leave because they thought he would be competing for that starting job next year. So that tells you kind of, you know, that maybe this guy has some real upside potential there. And so you hope, I mean, we only took 100 defensive linemen, it seems like, in this portal class. But I think, man, this guy, just the size and the body build and the athleticism that he has, I think he can be a real contributor for you next year. Now, talking about productive, proven guys and staying in the state of Tennessee brings us to our next transfer, and that is Elijah Herring, linebacker from Memphis. This has got to be one of the more proven guys that you're bringing in, and I love a lot of stuff about Elijah Herring. 6'2", 230, that jumps off the page at me already. A true linebacker-sized guy, not any undersized linebacker or anything like that. I like that. 22 starts over the last 2 years, over 1,400 snaps of experience. Of course, he was at Memphis last year, but he started his career at Tennessee in 2023. Right. So in 2024, Memphis only played 11 games. And for those of you wondering, he did not play against Florida State. So we're still cool, Elijah.
Yeah, we're still good.
We're still cool. We got no ill will towards you there. You know, maybe he sat out because he knew he was going to – maybe Mike was like, look, if you don't play, we'll give you that offer next year. But, yeah, comes in with 11 games of experience at Memphis, 60 tackles, 7.5 tackles for loss, 3.5 sacks, 4 PBUs, 2 interceptions, 2 forced fumbles, PFF grade of 69 even, and that's missing 2 games. You know, I looked it up, and he averaged a little over 5 tackles a game there, and so you're looking at around 70 tackles if he had played a full season slate. And, I mean, that's pretty good, man. And really, when you look at the way he finished his season off at Memphis, he had an outstanding bowl game against West Virginia. 10 tackles, 1 forced fumble, 1 PBU, and an 81.5 PFF grade. And then you rewind to Tennessee because you're like, okay, well, you know, maybe he wanted more playing time. And so he went to Memphis. Not really. He was Tennessee's leading tackler on that 2023 defense, which, by the way, was a top 25 defense in 2023. He led the team with 80 tackles, 4 TFLs, a half a sack, and 1 PBU. So, man, this reminds me, like, if we're doing some comparisons, I know he wasn't a 100-plus tackler, but this reminds me a lot of that Tatum Bethune type of linebacker.
I was just going to say that.
I don't know if he's going to be an NFL type of guy, but the dude is just daggum productive at the college level. Now, if I had to name a concern, it is that he has not been great in coverage. Yeah. He has allowed an 84.6 reception rate over the past 2 years and does have a 14% missed tackle percentage. So a couple of things to clean up there. You know, I think with this one, if you're going to send a linebacker, or, you know, this is the one you don't want to get in space on a wide receiver, because you may get exposed a little bit there. But, man, everything other than the pass coverage, I love this take. Extremely productive, lots of experience, and has proven himself at the Power 4 level with great size for a linebacker.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look back at what Florida State had in 2023, they didn't have the greatest coverage linebacker. But what they did have were smart linebackers, meaning they weren't the greatest in coverage. So if you were able to get them on a mismatch or able to get them up against a tight end or running back, there was a higher chance that that tight end running back was going to complete the catch more so than they were going to intercept the pass, for sure. But you know what you didn't see? You didn't see linebackers out of place. You know what you did see? You saw linebackers triggering when they needed to trigger. You saw linebackers getting in the right gap. And I think that's what you're getting with Herring, is when you look at the film, he's in the right gap. He's there where he needs to be. Yes, his tackle rate can get better for sure, but you know, sometimes you give a guy a pass just, you know, based on the fact that sometimes you just miss a tackle. Now, hopefully he doesn't miss as much as we were missing this, or not we,
oh,
but
my gosh,
State was missing this year. My gosh. I mean, I think everybody was wearing butter this year when their linebackers were trying to tackle them. But what you see is a productive, smart linebacker who's going to be in the right place, in the right gap, you know, and he's going to be there at least to make the tackle. Honestly, that's what you really want. You want him to be there to at least have the ability to make the tackle, and then hopefully he gets better at making the tackle. Having smart linebackers helps a defensive line not have to do everything. And we talked about this so much during this past season. The reason why our linebacker play was more exposed than it probably should have been is because the defensive line had to do everything. And once they got past that D line, there was no help. I mean, they were all in the wrong place. Right. Their eyes are in the wrong place. And so I actually really like this pickup.
Yeah, and even though you say that the defensive line had to do everything, the defensive tackles pretty much had to do everything on the defensive line because the ends were pretty terrible. So, yeah, I like this pickup because, you know, one, like the things that you said, yes, I mean, but, you know, that could be said for any linebacker on any defense. You don't want to get them in a mismatch situation. That's one of the biggest keys to offense. And, you know, I guarantee you we're going to try and get Squirrel White on as many linebackers as we can. It's not fair. But with that being said, Tony White, one of the things that they really stress on that defense is stopping the run. They have one of the best run defenses in the Big Ten the past 2 years. And so this feels like a guy who can really be an asset in stopping the run. And on top of that, when you think about it, Florida State did lose some of its more veteran linebackers, guys that already have the experience and things like that. Like, you have some talent. You have Omar Graham. You have Blake Nicholson. You have these guys that you brought in. There's not a lot of experience there. So I feel like this guy can be that kind of experienced veteran leader, at least for this 1 year until you get those young guys ready to take that next step. So I love the pickup, man. And so that's going to bring us to our next one here. And another defensive lineman in the fold here. Again, rebuilding the trenches, which is what I love to see, man. Pot roast has been cooking since he got to Tallahassee.
Boy, I know how to make a good roast.
That is for sure. And so the next one that we're going to talk about here is Damonte Diggs, defensive lineman out of Coastal Carolina, 6'5", 260, 7 starts and 441 snaps at Coastal. Started his career at Youngstown State, coming up from the FCS level. Now, again, I think when you talk about anybody like this, you have to always couch it with he's coming from the Sun Belt. How will he translate over to the Power 4 level, especially when you've only had one season at the G5 level? But it was a good season at the G5 level. 34 tackles, 6.5 tackles for loss, 5 sacks, 2 pass deflections. PFF grade could have been a little bit better, but it's above average at 62.6. He had 26 stops, which PFF counts that as basically any play where it's a negative for the offense. He had 26 stops from the defensive end position, and no FSU player had more than 23 last year.
Oh, wow.
Pat Payton had 22 in 138 additional snaps. Marvin Jones Jr. had 17 less in 50, or only had 17 in 54 fewer snaps. So from a production standpoint, I know it was at the G5 level, but he was very productive. And I think you do have to keep in mind that he did deal with a hand injury last year that had him in a cast. Like, even the picture that I used on his commit edit, you can see that club on his hand. And keep in mind, when you think about Josh Farmer last year, you know, the famous quote where I think he was talking to his brother or something. They were like, just take that off.
Yep.
And he just took that off and he started playing way better. So, like, hopefully that's gone and over with. But the other thing I like about him is you do get some versatility here. I was looking it up, and he played almost 100 snaps as defensive tackle at Coastal and almost played primarily inside at Youngstown State. So he does have the versatility with good size to be able to move around on the defensive line. Again, like I said, you just have to wait and see to see how he translates from G5 to P4, but sure seems like the potential is there. And I will say this too. When you talk about guys like the Jason Jenkins, who I think can be a starter for you, or this guy, the Diggs kid, I know you got to replace Pat Payton, and I know you got to replace Marvin Jones Jr., but you also have to replace Byron Turner Jr.
That's right.
You also have to replace guys like Adante Anderson, who didn't play a whole lot for you last year, but you need the twos and you need the threes that are going to come in off the bench for you. And so, you know, maybe this isn't your starting guy. Maybe that's like a James Williams and you know, the guy from Tennessee. But this can be a good second layer for you. Absolutely. And so that's why I love this pickup.
Yeah. I mean, listen, no one's expecting him to be a Jed Verse at all. No one's asking him to come in and be that. What I believe Florida State's asking him is say, hey, when you get your opportunity, come in and be dominant. Be as dominant as you were at the G5 level. Be as dominant as you were at the FCS level. Just be dominant. And however that looks, it will look. But I like the fact that he has a lot of production. He's a high motor end player. And he's going to, from everything I've seen, he's going to give you his best. He's going to lay it all out there on the field for you. And I like that. That's what you want to see. I mean, that's what you saw. Again, not to use the comparison to Jared Verse, but that's what you saw when you looked at the film with Jared Verse. The dude just laid himself out there. He was going to give it all. Now, and I would also say that this is a player that other teams, big time teams, were in on and wanted. And so for the fact that Florida State, again, won this battle, I think you're going to get a player that might surprise us. This is my sneaky diamond in the rough of the transfer portal.
Okay, I had Deontay McCray as one of mine. Okay. So, but again, man, I mean, you got a couple of guys here that could, you know, if you hit on like the Jared Verse, and, you know, I mean, for goodness sake, we took the guys from Georgia and didn't do anything for us. The ones that we took from South Carolina, a la Keir Thomas, or a backup from Georgia with Jermaine Johnson, or Jared Verse from Albany, those are the ones that worked out. Braden Fisk from Western Michigan. So, you know, I mean, I get there's going to be a little bit of hesitation there until you see it. But at the same time, like, we've seen it before. We've seen it work. And so I like it. I like the take here as well. So that's Florida State's recent round of commitments there. Hopefully we have a few more coming down the line. But, you know, there's not a whole lot going on.
Yeah.
You got the West Virginia transfer wide receiver who I think Florida State has a good chance on. Two updates real quick is the Faison running back from Utah State did commit to South Carolina. I know that we were a little disappointed with that, but, you know, I guess, man, at the end of the day, I look at it like this. You can't get them all, and we're coming off a 2-10 season, so you can't expect to get them all. Now, when you look at Faison, I think this would have been a luxury commit, right? You didn't necessarily need a running back.
Right.
You just wanted him because of who he was. He was a 1,000-yard rusher. Now, again, like we just talked about with the other guys, he was a 1,000-yard rusher at the G5 level. How will he look at the P4 level? He could be great, man. He might break off 1,000 yards next year. But, you know, you were talking about before the show, Florida State has a deep running back room. It's just you don't have that one bell cow that's proven to lead the charge, and which is typically something that Gus Malzahn likes to have. But, man, I mean, I was telling you before, you know, we jumped on to record that Gus Malzahn even said in his introductory press conference that, you know, when you look back at the Auburn national championship that they won, you know, Michael Dyer was a freshman and was the MVP of that national championship game. And so to me, this is more carries for Kroma, and that's nothing against Cam Davis. Cause I think he's going to mature as he, you know, gets out of that freshman season. You also have Roydell Williams. Looks like he's going to be coming back. Maybe you're excited about that. Maybe you're not. You got Kaziah Holmes there too. Makai Danzy. Right. But, man, this Kroma kid is just different. And so, to me, as much as I would have loved to have Faison, man, I'm fine with giving those carries to Kroma. And the last thing I'll throw back to you for some thoughts on that is Chris Murray, the defensive end from Sam Houston State, did commit to Auburn. Like I just said, we've already taken about 20 defensive linemen. So, I think you're good there.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, I like I said to you in the pre-show, the kid from Utah State, I was like, okay, I mean, if they see a value in it, sure. But I honestly, I'm actually glad because you can use those NIL dollars to go get some more offensive line because you have in my opinion, you have a deep running back room. Now, do you have a 1,000-yard rusher in that room right now? No, you do not. So I totally understand that. But again, this Uzma kid is going to be dynamic.
Yeah.
You got Cam Davis, who, if he can figure out his fumbling problems and we get a competent offensive line, it's going to be dynamic. You got lightning bolt Makai Danzy back there. You got Kaziah Holm, who has shown flashes of being a dynamic player. You got Sam Singleton back there. Roydell Williams. Sam Singleton. And then, of course, Roydell Williams, depending on how, you know, whether you're excited about that or not, depending on how he heals from his injury, you have a deep running back. And so why waste that NIL money to bring a guy in who's going to be one of your top maybe four backs that you're going to be using in rotation, right? Why not save that money and go after two more offensive linemen that you I won't say desperately, but it'd be nice to have so that you can figure out a competent five players to figure out for the offensive line, or maybe potentially if there is a dynamic, just can't miss wide receiver in that, you know, like Deuce Robinson was, go get it. Right. Yeah. And so that's where I feel like that might be a better spending of the money.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree because, I mean, he was a hot commodity. He had visited Bama and South Carolina, so you were going to have to pay to get him. I mean, I think you just have enough. I think it, as you said, man, if you can focus on fixing the offensive line, you know, you look back at that 2022 offensive line and how good they were. I mean, Michael, I probably could have ran for 500 yards. Now, it would have been like 10 yards at a time. Then I got to catch my breath, get some water, massage a cramp, and try again. But, you know, you fix the offensive line, and you got a stable of talented backs. And even with Roydell Williams, like, I understand a lot of us were not high on Roydell Williams. really, I think a lot of us wanted him benched last year. Yep. So, you know, I won't ever wish for a player to be injured.
No.
But when he did get injured, you're like, okay, now we can go back to Toa Philly some, and that's a lot better. I mean, he did put up over 500 yards at Alabama. It's hard to judge any running back behind what that trash of an offensive line was last year. So, man, if you fix the offensive line, and we know Gus Malzahn, if they do nothing else, they can run the ball.
Yeah.
And you also have Thomas Castellanos back there, and having a mobile quarterback is going to help the running backs.
That's right.
Because you have to respect that 11th guy. Man, I think you're fine with what you got, especially, like I said, man, this Chroma kid, I don't care if he's a freshman or not. He is different, and yes, I cannot wait to see him carry the ball. So Florida State, with the recent slew of commitments, does move up to the number 5 transfer class in the 247 rankings. And personally, man, I think this staff has done a heck of a job with the transfer market so far, considering that we're coming off a 2-10 season with an overhauled staff. They have addressed major positions of need with experienced veteran players. And you got a couple guys with multiple years in there too. And so I love what they're doing with this. I think it's going to really raise the floor of this team for next year. And, you know, when you look at what they've done in the portal so far, man, you're not going to just go rob playoff teams coming from where we're coming from. So I think they did a really good job with this. And, you know, obviously the ranking doesn't matter. It could be subject to change as other teams add. And I will say that I heard a lot of talk, and I put out a transfer portal graphic on our social media. Holy cow, Michael. Boy, did I start a fire on social media because there are, last I checked, there was over 600 comments on Facebook. And I've heard this before, and there's no chemistry, and this is not sustainable, and all these things. And, you know, we were talking about this before the show, so I wanted to touch on it for just a minute. I think really when you look at the transfer portal, I get it. You want to build a lot of these, your program from the high school ranks and only add from the portal. I get that. And yes, they were the number 7 ranked portal class last year. So I get the trepidation. But I think when you look back to the portal class last year, a lot of the ranking was based off kind of fluff star rankings, right?
That's right, yeah.
And so guys who had a good logo by their name, guys who were 4 and 5 stars coming out of high school, you know, Marvin Jones Jr., I'm sure got a bump in his ranking because of his name.
Oh, yeah.
And so the guys that you're bringing in now have compiled to a top 5 class based on what they've done.
Correct.
What they could be. And so that's what I like so much about it. And, you know, one thing that I was even going to say about the running back room here is, you know, when you talk about wanting that top level running back, I mean, I looked back at Gus Malzahn's running back last year, RJ Harvey, came out of the high school as, I believe, a dual threat quarterback. He was the 1581st recruit nationally, 3-star, and he put up 1,500 rushing yards last year. Again, guys, Florida State has not had a 1,000-yard rusher since Cam Akers in 2017. So, man, I just look at what they've done, and I think they can do a lot of good with these players. They've addressed a lot of positions of need. I get the chemistry aspect, but yes, it's important, but it might be overplayed a little bit, right? Because you're bringing in new players every year. You got players leaving every year. You know, the NFL does perfectly fine with free agency, with bringing in guys, you know, every year. I mean, I'm sure how many teams have probably won the Super Bowl based on what they did in the free agency market.
Yeah.
You know, you also, you know, a lot of the opinions from fans about some of the guys that we've taken. Like, look, man, we're fans. I get it. But I don't care what a fan has to say about, oh, they didn't miss this guy. They didn't think it was a big loss. I don't care. He was their leading receiver. You know, I look at the stat sheet. I let the stat sheet tell me
about it,
not an opinion. And I like that they're getting back to what made them successful by taking proven transfers that have proven production. Because, man, again, like, I get it. People are like, oh, you took transfers last year and went 2-10. There were so many outside circumstances besides the transfer market that led to being 2-10, from the snub things that had never happened. Alex Atkins was a bum of an offensive line coach.
Yes.
We had the worst unit in college football.
Keep going. You know, preach.
Again, we've talked about it, man. Like, if you swap them with, say, Iowa's offensive line, this is a bowl team. You know,
probably at a minimum.
So, like, man, again, if you just fix the offensive line, I think you're in good shape. And they've done that and then some.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's what I'll say about this, Jesse. And it comes down to the simple fact of this. This is college football. Okay. This is college football.
It's not the 90s anymore.
It's not your grandpa's, as we've said before. It's not your grandpappy's college football anymore. Right. This is college football. And this is the era by which you have to be great at both high school recruiting and portal recruiting. Okay. Now, yes, the dream would be is that you develop through high school recruiting and supplement through the portal. That would be the dream. No, you don't want to always be developing through the portal and supplementing with high school. Absolutely. Okay. Everybody understands that. But this is college football. You are going to have to leverage the portal. You're going to have to go in and get players. Now, where Florida State made the mistake last year that compiled on the 5 billion things that went wrong with the season is the fact that they took players from big name programs because they had the logo and not the production, right? They had the logo and not production. This year, they got what I call Eve. Okay. They got Eve. They got experience. They got veteran. They got production and they got a high potential players. Okay. So these are guys who have produced, have played and got experience. That was the winning formula that got them to 10-3 and 13-0. Basically was they didn't go out and just get potentials or backups with logos. They went out and got experienced, veteran, productive players. And that's what I think Mike Norvell got back to. He lost that a little bit with everything that went on last year, and it showed up. It hurt in high school recruiting, hurt transfer portal recruiting. You know, it's not just a snub. It's some of the decisions he allowed to make. Like you said, man, if we had Memphis's offensive line,
yeah,
we're probably going to a bowl, okay?
Right.
So this is what it is. And as Florida State fans, we can complain, we can whine, but this is the only way. I'm just saying, this is the only way Mike doesn't go 2-10 or worse next year. He had to do this. So either we get behind it or you go root for somebody else because this is the way.
Right. No, I don't disagree. I mean, yes, we all want to build out of the high school. Yes, absolutely. We all want to be, you know, Bama, Georgia, Ohio State, that type of program. Even they use the portal.
That's
I mean,
right.
Again, you know, you like you said, man, do you want to go 2-10, 3-9, 4-8 again with the same players, or do you want to go get, if nothing, and there's nothing saying that the players already on your roster can't win the job.
Exactly.
If the transfers come in and start, that probably means the guys behind them weren't better than them. So Mike Norvell's job is not to bring in a kid from high school and guarantee him playing time. Again, we've said this 100 times on the show. There ain't much I take from the Willie Taggart era, but the favorite thing I ever heard him say was, it's a recruit's job to come in and win the job, and it's his job to bring in players to take their job.
Correct.
And so that's all Mike Norvell's job is, to put the best players on the field to win games. And so that's what he's doing. And again, like, I know we're all jaded from last year, but like you said, man, without the portal, there is no 10-3. There is no 13-0. There is no ACC championship. Yep. So it's worked for them in the past. They're getting back to what they did before. And yeah, you want to supplement, and people are talking about, oh yeah, your whole team's from the portal. Look, we're probably going to be operating under 105 scholarship players next year, or players, you know, on the roster. We got 16 transfers. That's hardly the whole team.
Thank you.
And, you know, again, when you look at even and here's a great example for you. But when you look at the playoff, the quarterbacks on the current playoff teams, 6 out of the 12 teams that made the playoffs and 3 out of the final 4 teams remaining have a transfer as their quarterback. The portal works.
Come on.
You just got to get everything right around them. Now, I understand we've been more, you know, we've been more heavy on the portal than a lot of other teams. And sure, you can go back to the argument like, oh, well, a portal heavy team has never won the national championship. Well, you're also only talking about something that has existed since 2018, which also during that time you've had programs like a dynasty in Alabama, a dynasty in, you know, a building dynasty in Georgia. And then the one team that could have broken that mold got screwed out of the chance to go do it last year. Had Jordan Otta got hurt, we could have broke the mold. So I get the trepidation with the portal, but like you said, man, right now, this is the way. I'm sure they want to get away from it at some point, but they know they got to win in 2025. Yes. And we still signed 20 guys from the high school ranks.
Thank you. Yes.
So, man, I love the haul that they've got so far. I don't know how much else they're going to look at right now because you haven't heard a whole lot. I know they're looking at a very productive receiver out of App State. You also have the kid from West Virginia as well. Haven't heard a whole lot other than that. I still, like you said, would like to see one or two more offensive linemen brought in. Yep. But truthfully, man, beyond that, unless it's a day one starter wide receiver, I don't know that you need a whole lot more. No, I really don't. So. I think you've done a really, really good job of addressing the needs and getting guys that can step in and be contributors day one to do it. So I love where we're sitting right now.
Yeah, I do too. As far as the player acquisition, I think they've done a great job at addressing the needs. Again, I would love to get at least two more offensive linemen, but I understand if they can't, because you know there's just not anybody. You don't want to just bring in bodies, but right. if you can get, you know, at least two more that are productive that could be potential starters, then yeah, I would do it in a heartbeat. And then really, it's all about getting into the offseason program, getting into the spring program, getting into the offseason program, and getting into pre-fall program of getting that offensive line capable, getting Thomas Castellanos and those receivers and those running backs on the same page, getting that defense up to speed on the new schemes or the multiple schemes that you're going to run, getting that D-line ready to go. Like, that's what you need to focus on. Yes, they brought in 20 people from the high school recruiting perspective. And remember, when they started firing coaches, that class was terrible. For it to end up in the top 20, that was a miracle worked by that coaching staff, by the temporary coaching staff as well, too. And then they go out to get the top five portal transfer recruiting class. You know, Mike Norvell was serious when he said he was going to fix it. And this is how he has to fix it. And so we need to get on board as FSU fans. I'm not saying to believe they're going to win the national title, go to the playoff, go to the ACC championship, or even win 10 games. I'm just saying, give them a break. This is the best they could do to try to fix the program right now. And our job as fans is to be fans. Let's back them up. And if they're terrible, guess what? We'll be the first ones to tell you people need to get fired. Trust me.
Exactly.
We'll be willing to say it.
We'll break the pitchforks out. And I agree. And yes, it is a knock on Mike Norvell that he has never signed a top 10 class. They had, I believe, at one point a top five class before things went south and you had to overhaul your whole staff. So, you know, if they bring the success back, there's nothing saying that the recruiting won't pick up as well. So, yeah, man, I definitely think that they've raised the floor to a point where, like you said, I'm not saying we're going to be a playoff team next year. I'm not saying we're going to make the ACC championship next year. But, man, when you look at this schedule, something that I'll die on this hill, that schedule this year was harder than people give you credit for. Every single team before bowl season had a winning record on that schedule. And I think we were talking about it earlier. What was it? It was like five or six teams going into next year had a losing record this year. So your schedule is a little bit easier. And you've got some more proven transfers coming in. So, and hopefully an upgraded staff. So the thing is, even in the ACC, I mean, look at Clemson. They snuck in there, 9-3 or something like that into the ACC championship. So, I mean, you never know. You go 8-4, 9-3, you just might fall backwards into the playoffs. Who knows?
Absolutely.
So I know that's a long way away from now, but
I
definitely think they've done a really good job. Now, talking about high school, before we get out of here, I got two little blips that I want to share with you guys that I saw that I thought was worth sharing because, man, this kind of tells you that we got some dudes coming through the high school ranks too. Now, let's not forget about that. And one thing real quick, I will say, people will look at the logo next to the names that we got now, and they're like, oh, these don't come from playoff teams and things like that. Like, we still have talented guys on this roster. Yep. Like, you have a lot of high-ceiling guys that are already on this roster. But if you don't have the high floor guys to go with them, you'll never see that ceiling. And so these guys will help them get there. But some of the high school guys that we got, man, two of these ones that I want to talk about real quick. Javon Boggs, wide receiver, the one we flipped from UCF that Gus brought over. Thank you for that, Gus.
Thank you, Gus.
This kid is going to be special. He was recently named one of only three receivers in the country to be named a Max Preps first team All-American at the high school level. And so then I started looking up a little bit there about, you know, maybe how he got there. And he plays at Cocoa High School, obviously in Florida there. Man, this kid is ridiculous, Michael. Yeah. He set the state record in Florida for single game receiving yards with 378.
Jeez.
How do you even have 378?
Somebody had a college football 25 controller somewhere.
On rookie mode.
On rookie mode.
Right. And he was only 26 yards shy of the single season record. He had 99 receptions for 2,133 yards and 21 touchdowns. And I get it. Sometimes in high school, when you got a dude, they just run away. But man, those numbers are almost unbelievable. So when you look at what this kid can come in and contribute, maybe it's next year, maybe it's not. Man, this is going to be a massive addition
to the high school ranks. Absolutely.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And then the other one here I saw where defensive tackle Kevin Wynn, which was a huge win on the recruiting show to be able to keep him. He is currently competing in the Navy All-American Bowl and per on three was named the day one MVP for the East team. And I already saw a couple of practice clips. Now, it's just practice, but I saw a couple practice clips come out. And, I mean, he was whipping some pretty good competition up front. So this is a guy that, like we said, not only was a big recruiting win, I think he's going to be a contributor as a freshman.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think he could be a huge help. I think you're going to see an early opportunity for him to get on the field to back up some of those guys there. And, you know, who knows? He might even end up with a start or two, just depending on how he shows up, how his body's ready, if he has the body to kind of be able to get into that with the trenches or whatever. But, yeah, he was a huge win. The fact that they were able to hold on to him and keep him a part of that fold is shout out to Odell for that big thing. I'm sure Pot Roast was a big help, a part of that as well, too. But it was great to keep him, and I think he's going to add the future of that line is probably going to begin with him as they move forward and hopefully being able to recruit more and more players around there.
Exactly. And the reason I say that is because we talk a lot about transfers, but again, like I said, don't forget now, we got some guys coming through the high school ranks too that are going to be a big part of this team. So that's going to be it for today, guys. Just wanted to kind of break down these most recent commitments for you and some overall thoughts on the class as Florida State seems to kind of be slowing down in a little bit on the portal now that they've really just kind of had a burst of commitments. I mean, we could barely keep up on Sunday. We were just trying to publish articles and make graphics and all this stuff. It was a crazy day. And speaking of, guys, don't forget, we do have plantthespear.com, our website. Look, me and Michael both work full time, so we do this as much as we can. We crank out as much content as we can for you guys. Sometimes it's hard when you work a full time job and you got a lot of things going on, families and all that stuff outside of it. And, you know, we're pretty much a two-man show. And then my guy Jeff helps out during baseball season, too. So I just want to remind you guys that we have that. And we've been kicking it out, man. We have pretty much hit an article giving you a little bit of a look, kind of like what we're talking about right now on the website. So make sure you check out plantthespear.com. All of these episodes are available over there as well. You can find our podcast, our YouTube videos, our articles over there. So make sure you check it out. Drop a like and subscribe if you enjoy this content. We are creeping towards 2000, Michael. I think we're like almost 1850 now. So yeah, we would love to get to 2000. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, drop a rate and review on the podcast. Really helps us out. So we appreciate you guys watching. Also, don't forget to check out Alumni Hall FSU. Save 10% with code SPEAR. So we appreciate you guys watching. Let us know what you think if you're watching on YouTube of the recent transfers in the comments below. Thanks for watching. We'll catch you guys on the next one. And as always, go Noles.
Noles, baby.